Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 to 10. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of both, eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." We'll pray for the blessing on his word this morning in Jesus' name. Please, if you can you just say this to yourself? This is not a month to hide. Say it again. Say, "This is not the month to hide." If you have anybody close to you, look at the person and say to the person, "This is not the month to hide from God. This is not the month to hide from God." Please preach. Somebody needs to hear your voice really loud. It's not a month to hide from God. It's not the month to hide from God. Amen. We are going to be looking at a very, very important subject matter throughout this month. You don't want to miss any of the Sundays. I'm going to be continuing in the series of revival, but I'm going to be dealing on what we call the revival that we need today. I'm sure you do know that the kind of revival we need today is a little bit different from the revival that they had in the days of W.J. Seymour, in the days of Martin Luther, in the days of John Wesley. They had revival. We need revival, but it's a revival with a difference. And I will be expounding on that over the next few weeks. Amen to Jesus. First thing I want to establish on the text that we have looked at is that disobedience is normally the reason why we lose the presence of God. Disobedience is the pathway to losing God's presence. I would say that again. Disobedience is the key to losing God's presence. If you want to lose the presence of God, begin on the path of disobedience. Begin to tread in the path of disobedience. And I'm not talking about disobedience in big things. I'm talking about disobedience in little things. I'm not saying go out of the garden. Adam did not go out of the garden. He only took a little fruit from the tree. So it was a little disobedience. But that was enough to make a man lose the presence of God. And so by the grace of God this morning, I want to make you understand one of the kind of revivals that we need, particularly in the days that we live in, where everybody's religious. The Bible says having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Am I talking to somebody here? These are the days where the Bible says men shall become lovers of their own self. They shall become proud, boasters. The Bible said they'll become arrogant, full of themselves, lovers of themselves more than they love God. And yet they will come to church. We are living in the days where people love church more than they love God. We are living in the days whereby people brag more with the name of their church more than they brag with the knowledge of God that they do have. The Bible said, "Let him that is rich not brag in the fact that he is rich. Let him that is knowledgeable not brag in the fact that he is knowledgeable. But if you have anything to brag about, let it be that you know God." Let it be that you know God. That's what the Bible says. In these last days, they that do know their God. Praise God. So what will really distinguish people in these last days is your personal intimate knowledge of God. Your personal time that you spend with the Almighty God. And the revelation of Him that you have in the place of prayer and in the place of fellowship. So the first thing I want to emphasize here is that one of the major revivals that we need in this last day, sir, is the revival of the presence of God. That's one of the revivals that we need today. Like I said, throughout this month, I'll be dealing with the revival we need today. But this morning, I want to briefly talk to you on the revival of His presence. That's one of the things that we need so dearly in the times and in the days that we'll find ourselves in. I'm sure you all do know that the challenges of our times and the challenges of the days that we'll find ourselves in is such that everyone needs the presence of God to survive in the times that we'll find ourselves in. Trials, temptation, troubles are so prevalent in such a dimension that it can weaken anybody. If you've not been in a fight for so long now, so much so that your strength is beginning to deplete, you will not know why you need the presence of God. And I want to say to everyone here, if you think that the battle before you is the only and the major battle that you have, I want to say that you are not indeed in the right path. Because the truth of the matter is, the victory you have from one battle introduces you to another. Life is a series of battles, therefore strength is needed to be sustained. And you cannot get strength to continue in the battles of life without the presence of God. Because the Bible says it is in the presence of the Lord that we find the fullness of joy. And it is that joy that is converted that becomes what, sir? Our strength. For the joy of the Lord is my what? My strength. We are living in the days where people are beginning to get depleted on the inside. People fight little battles. My wife and I were talking about 2 days ago. Yesterday. And you know, this last few months, as I'm solving this one, I'm dealing with the other one, I'm trying to sort the other one, and I'm sorting the other one, and I can see the other ones that are lined up before me. I don't know if anybody understands what I'm talking about here. You turn to the north, there are issues to sort out. You turn to the east, there are issues to sort out. You turn to the west, there are issues to... Is there anybody here who understands what Pastor Sammy is saying at all? Except if you have nowhere going. But if you really have somewhere going in life, I guarantee you, under God, you're going to have battles with the dogs that are lined up. You're going to have battle with the wind that is coming. The rain will try to stop you. You're going to have people that don't like your face as you're trying to pay the bills for NEPA. You're trying to pay the bills for something else. You're trying to sort out this other one. Oh, the child just turns a little bit sick. And then there's this other one. And you're coming up from this. It's as if life has placed a demand on you on every side. Let me say that. If you will survive and not lose your mind in these last days, you must find your way to the presence of God. So many battles you will win and so many you will lose. Oh, come on. Am I talking to somebody here? You're not going to win every battle in life. Some you will win and some you will lose. When you win some, you need the presence of God to make you remain sane. When you lose some, you need the presence of God to make you remain sane. Am I talking to somebody here? You need the presence of God so dearly. This is not what the church is advising you to do. This is something you need so dearly for your own personal survival. When everybody's placing a demand on you, you better place a demand on God. Am I talking to somebody here? Don't keep giving. Don't keep meeting needs and pouring out yourself this way. They call you here to come to the family meeting. You go solve family problem. Your other friends are calling you, solve friends problem. Church also needs you. You solve church problem. And you are depleting on every side. Giving and giving and giving and giving. And there's nowhere where you go back and retire to where you receive from the source of strength himself. No wonder now you stand, you just sit down in church and they are preaching. You can't hear anything because your spirit is dead. It takes a man that is spiritually alive to discern a spiritual message. The Bible says the spiritual thing is foolishness to a man that is carnal. And the challenges of life are designed in such a way that they reduce your spirituality and increase your carnality. I will say that again. Oh God. The problems of life are designed in such a way that they deplete your spirituality and increase your carnality. What do I mean? You have bills to pay and you don't have enough money to pay it. You have problems to solve and you don't have enough capacity or resources to meet them. The next thing you discover is if you are not very careful, you're going to become so carnal. You're going to find out, God, what do I do now? What do I do? And in the name of what do I do, you begin to think of doing crazy things that are outside of the will of God. Because you see, problems are designed in such a way that if you're not careful, they will deplete your spirituality.
The only way to survive in these last days is to spend time in the presence of God, from where you receive wisdom and strength to deal with the challenges of life. Honestly, I used to think that more money means more freedom. I have to change my philosophy. You understand? Because, Pastor John, you were in my house, we were talking recently about, I said to him, I said, Pastor, I said, I am not broke by the grace of God and I'm not hungry. You understand that, sir? He knew why I was saying that day. But man, Pastor Sam, hello, Pastor, house rent, sir. Hello, Pastor Sam. The engine of the car just knocked our car. Please, Pastor, can you help us? Pastor Sam. Somebody's even called the pastor. Please, my child has to go to school abroad. Can you help me with school fees abroad? I said, when you were taking the form, did you know that they pay in dollars? I mean, it's just funny. In fact, now that we've not talked extended family. Who believe you are such a rich man that they said money flows in your hand freely? In fact, I print it in my house. And so as the calls are coming, your head is spinning. I just say, boy, this is not the right thing to do. Abandon the call. Keep the phone. Nobody will die. Get back to the presence of God. Get back to the presence of God. There are things you'll be praying for and you'll be waiting on God for. They will not come when you want them to come. Myself and one of our sisters in church were talking recently. Have you sat down to consider the prosperity of the wicked? Have you ever tried it? Is anybody here? Have you ever sat down to consider how the wicked prosper? Huh? You've never considered it. If you consider it, please, anytime you want to consider it, make sure a pastor is very close to you. As loving as David was a man after God's heart. He said, but when I made the mistake, now please watch this carefully. The problem is not in the fact that I saw the wicked prosper. That was not the problem. It's not that I heard that the wicked were prospering. David said, I went beyond hearing and seeing. I began to consider. He said, my feet almost slipped until God put a wedge and said, my son, where are you going to? And God said, let me show you the end of those that you are seeing prospering now. And then when he saw their end, he said, God, I changed my mind. I would rather remain a gate man in your house than to end up like this kind of people. Am I talking to somebody here? Then the Bible says, consider that perfect man, his end shall be peace. If he had not gone to the presence of God, he would have not seen the end of what he was considering and his feet would have slipped. Please let me touch your neighbor and say, this is not the month to hide from the presence of God. So basically this month we need the revival of what? Of God's presence in our lives. We all need God's presence in our homes, in our workplaces, in our churches, in our personal lives. And if we're going to encounter the presence of God, please, there's one thing everybody, we have to take note of here. We need to stop it. In the book of Genesis chapter 3 verse 8, the Bible says, and they heard the voice of God, the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Among the trees. They hid themselves from God's presence among the trees. Please let me touch somebody. Say, stop hiding yourself among the trees. And the trees can give you shelter, but they can't offer you God's presence. Is that okay? So many of us are hiding behind work today, among work. You know, I'm so busy, Pastor Sam. You know, my relationship is so tasking. You know, all the activities right now are heightening. You know, heightening from God's presence among the trees. The Bible says concerning Adam, when he had lost the presence of God, he began to use trees to replace God's presence. Am I talking to somebody here? You know, sometimes trees can be church activities. Am I talking to somebody here? Hiding yourself among the trees. You know, using spiritual cliches. No, praise God. Oh, And you know you are spiritually dry and dead, hiding yourself among the trees, you know, carrying Bible and looking spiritual, when you know you are really not, hiding yourself among trees. You know the funny part about Pentecostal church right now, when members come to church and you know they've done something very funny, they are living in sin, they are living in deception, they are living in self-deceit. When they come to church and pastor is able to shake hands with them, you see, the fact that pastor did not say, come my sister, God is telling me that you are living in sin. You slept with a man yesterday. Oh, my brother, God is just telling me that you are messing up your life. You see, the fact that pastor could shake hands with them and say, my sister, you're looking good today, and all of that. They count the fact that pastor was unable to break into what they are doing. They count that to mean that God is not seeing it. So they keep hiding among us. So people believe that when they blind the pastor, they have blinded God. It's unfortunate. Have you noticed that if there is one thing that is missing in the Pentecostal church today, is the consciousness of God's presence everywhere I go? Oh, come on. Let me ask you one question. If you are conscious of God's presence, will you lie? You see, when you lie, it is because you have lost the consciousness of God's presence. And you know why, sir? Because the church has made us to believe that it is in the church that we experience the presence of God. The reality is that there are two dimensions of the presence of God: the omnipresence of God and the manifest presence of God. In church, most times when we worship together, you experience the manifest presence of God. Is that okay now? And that's what makes everybody religious. But the reality is, in the absence of our gathering together, there is what we call the omnipresence of God. It goes with you to the bathroom. It goes with you to the office. It's with you in the bus. It's with you in the hotel. I mean the hotel room. You understand that? The hotel room, even if it's a suite, a chalet, if it's whatever, the presence of God is there. That it is the consciousness of that presence of God that made Joseph to be in a room with a woman, no pastor, but Joseph said, how can I do this great wickedness? Nobody see me, but I am conscious. I'm a man who carries about the consciousness of God wherever I go. And it was that consciousness of God and the presence of God that made Joseph to say, nobody's here to say hush. He said, but I will not do this great wickedness against God. You see, the reason why Pentecostals easily sin today is that we are conscious of where we worship, but we are not conscious of who we worship. Unfortunately for us, the Pentecostals who are supposed to be showing the Samaritans who to worship, the Pentecostals are swapped position. The Samaritans know the who of worship, and now the Pentecostals are the ones who are concerned more about the where of worship. We worship on the mountain. We don't worship where you worship. We worship on the mountain. And Jesus said, I'm not here to talk about where you worship. Do you know who you worship? You know why Mike, Dan, Sam, you know why we steal? To the proportion of billions that we're stealing, we have lost the... See, if you carry the consciousness of God's presence, you will not sign a wrong document. You will not falsify an account. The truth is that we have lost the consciousness of God's presence. So we live and hide among trees. Let me quickly show you some few things, and I hope that it will help us to pray right this morning. Praise God. Let me make an announcement here. Nothing can replace the absence of God's presence in your life but God. Nothing. Pastor, in those days, whenever we feel we have lost the presence of God a bit, do you know that you can be active working for God and lose the presence of God while working for God? Do you get what I'm just saying now? The Bible said they went to cut down trees so that they can build the house of God. It was while they were cutting down trees to build the house of God that the Bible said the axe head fell. And many of us have lost our axe head in the midst of service. We have lost our spiritual axe head in the midst of service. Our potency is no more there. Let me ask you a question, sir. Why is it, have you ever asked yourself this question? Why is it that in the 21st century, have you noticed few pastors? Gradually, the church is becoming like the secular society. We have few men at the riches. Every other person follows them. Am I correct? Have you noticed in the church too? Few men are the ones that everybody is putting a demand on. Am I talking to somebody here? Few men. You are either hearing Pastor Sam Adeyemi. You are hearing who are the men of God? Oh, Bishop Oedipo. Do you know Bishop Oedipo will fly from America straight into service? Miles Monroe was talking with us in Sheraton at the Hilton recently, and he told us he flew 48 hours into Nigeria. He was talking to us and was almost sleeping. He said, because of the demand on my life. You know what I said to him? When I rose my hand, I said, sir, I said, by the grace of God, in 5 years' time, I said, we'll reduce your trip to Africa. He looked at me. And a professor was telling me recently, he said, they met together with Miles Monroe in Israel recently. And he said, Miles Monroe was talking to him and he mentioned me to him. He said, that young man made a very powerful statement. He will reduce my trip to Africa. Some people came and met me. They said, Pastor Sam, we know why you are saying what you're saying. Why should one man be that overstressed? Is he the only one that serves this God? Eh? The reason is because he's paying a price others are unwilling to pay. Why are few very rich and others very poor? Because they are paying the price that others are unwilling to pay. I am not there. I'm just growing in the Lord. You know, I'm one of the children of the Lord. I'm just growing by the grace of God. But the demand, I was supposed to be in Ife yesterday. I was supposed to fly into Ife yesterday, speak and fly back to be with you this morning. And I look at all the demands. I'm like, I can't, I will just kill myself if I continue like this. But why should it be me? Why? We will not pay the price to sit in his presence. It is in the place of fellowship that secrets are revealed. God wants to tell you things he has not told me. God does not repeat himself. In essence, if God has shared the secret with Henry, he is not interested in sharing that secret with somebody else again. He is looking for a Shegun to share something different with him. But he said, where are my children who will receive from me songs in the night? Where are they? Also, Reverend Sam Adeyemi in his office, you could literally see, if you've been close to Reverend Sam lately, you will know, if you look at his lips, you know this man is strongly dehydrated. If you've been anywhere close to Reverend Sam. Because he's just America, London, everywhere. Sam Adeyemi. Sam Adeyemi. He's a child of God. You're a child of God. The difference is just that he's spending more time in the presence of God, receiving from God what you are willing to pay the price to receive. Bishop Oedipo will tell you several times he will abandon himself into fasting and prayer. And it will always be in that place of fasting and prayer. He will shout and say, I got it. I got it. And he said every time he's going to fast and pray, he said he carries books plus the Bible on the subject he's going to seek the face of God on. If poverty is his major challenge, he will carry books on prosperity, go to the presence of God, pray and pray until he gets a breakthrough. You cannot say something is a challenge to you. I'm going to qualify my language. If anything is challenging you today and you have not yet taken it to God as a matter of prayer and fasting, it means it's just something that is bothering you. It is not challenging you. You know what I see Christians today? Pastor, look at the challenges I'm having. Have you fasted and prayed? How many days have you spent in the closet on that subject alone? Get books on that subject and seek God until God hand over to you the secret on that subject. My poverty continued until 1994-95 when I was in the place of prayer, CBQ 26, Ikeja Military Cantonment. And the word of the Lord came to me from Psalm 30, I will share it with you, Psalm 35, verse 27, where the Lord said, let them shout, let them say continually, the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of what's up? Of his servant. It was then I got to know that God's servant are expected to prosper, and it is that that causes God to be magnified. Until that time, I was told that servants of God are supposed to be broke. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Nothing, please take note of that. Nothing can replace the absence of God's presence in your life but the presence of God itself. Nothing. I wish I can really get this. See, you don't, everybody's challenge, everybody, how every of your challenge, listen, whatever you're going through right now, God has an answer to it. But he will not give it to you until you come to his presence. Please, let me say it to your hearing. Your unwillingness to go to God's presence is the reason for the persistence of this challenge. Whatever this challenge means to you. Your unwillingness to go into God's presence is the reason why this challenge continues. Your unwillingness to go into God's presence. Say, Father, what is your mind concerning this subject? Wait a minute. Do you know that God wants to speak to you? In fact, let me put it this way. God is more interested in speaking to you than you are even interested in hearing from him. Okay, let me make it this way. I hope they can make that clear. I don't know if you have to put on an ear aid now. Hear me and hear me well. God wants to say something about what you are going through. But he won't say it in the public. He's waiting for you in the closet. Did you hear me on the other side there? What did I say? God wants to say something about what you are going through, but he won't say it to you in the public. He wants to say it to you in the private. There is an answer to your present challenge. And God is waiting for you in the closet so that he can hand it over to you. Intercourse does not take place in the public place except for dogs. Only dogs have intercourse in the public. Your father wants to have, and it's in intercourse that deposit take place. Am I talking to somebody here? When intercourse take place, deposit take place, few months later, the world will know that something happened between this man and his wife few months ago. Am I talking to somebody here? There will be something to show. No matter how you try to hide it, gradually we just are seeing extensions and progressions of what has already taken place. Am I talking to somebody here? God wants to meet with you and deposit something inside you that the world will see in the months and in the years to come. But God cannot meet with you in the public. Every man that God has made, every woman that God has made, they will tell you that there was a time when they withdrew from the public and went to the place of seclusion where God met with them. Katrin Kuhlman will always tell you, she will say it this way, I can take you to the place, I can tell you the time when Katrin Kuhlman died. Hallelujah. Please, I need to know how many minutes I have left so that I can wind up. Just kindly send it to me. There's something about the presence of God that makes me, I cry so much about the presence of God. Sorry, sir. Why do you think David was a man that really thirsted for the presence of God? Why? Let me share a few things about the presence of God. Please, you can take note of the scriptures and then you go and read them at home. Exodus chapter 33 verse 14. God speaking to Moses said to Moses, my presence shall go with you and I will give you what, sir? Please, can I hear? I will give you what? Rest. Somebody say rest. My sister, that's why I am asking us to go to the presence of God. We need a revival of God's presence so that we can have rest. Rest is not the absence of trouble. Is that okay? Rest is not the absence of trouble. It is the presence of peace in the midst of conflict. Are you getting what I'm saying here? So some people were asking me, I think early part of this, Pastor Sam, you know when they came here and they were like, they saw the work going on and all of that. Say, ah, Pastor Sam, if somebody came here to amaze you to know, just about 2 weeks ago, and he said, Pastor, he said, what happened, Pastor? He said, I'm confused, Pastor. He said, somebody just met me and told me that, look at the thing that happened, that building this collapse, this happened. He said, but Pastor, I'm here, I'm confused. He said, because Pastor, I've not been around for months now. I said, so which one do you want to believe? The one you are seeing or the one you heard? I said, in any case, what you heard happened. I said, but in place of it, something better has come up. Ah, he said, Pastor, when did that one happen? When did this one started? And he said, Pastor, but, and you are looking very relaxed, refreshed, and all of that. I said, because he gave me rest. If you remember at the beginning of this walk, my leaders will remember, and I think I mentioned it in church, God said to me, you should not be coming here every day. Stay back in my presence. Did I mention that in church? I mentioned that in church. Because my success is not in my hard work. My success is not in my, I am here, I am shaking. Oh, the roof, all of you are looking fine. Nobody's bone is chicken out, is sticking out. You have not been stressed on this building. If there have been any major fundraising, it has been the one major one we did. And that was for the roof. How did we get to the roof before you came on board? And I did not die in the process. Nor did the man of God faint. Learn. If you spend more time in his presence, he will bring you into the presence of those who need to help you. How can you get the audience of the king and the king not speak to his subjects on your behalf? What you are hiding from is what you truly need. Hasn't it bothered you that when it comes to spending time in God's presence, that's when you get tired? Okay, let's just pray. Holy Father God, Jesus, Lord, Father, I'm confused. And then you just hear ta-da-dan, ta-da-da, Hollywood, Azakaba number 2. Boom! You wake up. Now, listen, you can't spend few minutes in God's presence, but you spend hours watching Azakaba and you are awake. You must know there's a demon behind all of that. It is a tree that is trying to keep you from God's presence. Please don't excuse it. It's a demonic spirit that's trying to keep you from God's presence. Because the Bible says they hid among the trees. Because the Bible says in the presence of the Lord is a fullness of joy. It said, will your presence not go before us? God said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Are you not? Can't you see that you are restless? Haven't you noticed lately you are restless? Your brain, you can't think very sharply. They tell you something now, you forget in a few minutes. Young person, 25, 34, 40, you are not even 60. Look at our mommies who were on the stage, who were talking the other. They were remembering what happened when they were in the village, how many kilometers they normally trek. Your own, they tell you something now, you forget. Because your mind is, you are choked. And you've not started life already, you are choked. Children have not started going to university, you are choked. What will happen if 4 children or 3 are going to the university and you have to pay 3 million and your income is 4 million per annum? I'm sharing with you what will help you in the future and in the days that we find ourselves in. Much is done by spending time in God's presence and by struggling to make it happen. It's a deception for you to get out of God's presence. It's a big deception to think that by the strength of man or by the arm of flesh, you can make so much to happen. Let me ask you a question. If your hands can achieve the things that you have achieved, I want to ask you a question. What will the arm of the Lord do in your life? So he said, my presence will give you water. So one of the reasons why we need the presence of God is to have what, sir? Rest. Rest. Praise God. Somebody look at me and say, Pastor, ma, you and your wife, now wow. You see, with all this here and there and all of this challenge, you see, you people have a lot of rest. Ah, you guys, you are calling yourself boyfriend, babe, and all. I say, what's the problem? See, Pastor, doesn't this bother you? I say, bother who? I say, there's a revelation that has settled two of us. Number one, he said, children are the inheritance of who? Eh? And the fruit of the womb, whose reward? So if he chooses not to, if he feels it's a disturbance to my ministry to give me children, because there is reward, and he thinks I'm too busy taking care of all of you, so why should he bother me with one other child somewhere there? Are you getting them? Okay, anyway, you can't understand the level I'm speaking from. See, there are dimensions to life. You don't kill yourself over anything. If children are his reward, let him hold. If he wants to send, he should send. If he doesn't want, keep your something there. Amen? Amen? If you think I should take care of one of your children, should you be begging people to, sir, can you send me, let me take care of your children, sir, please. Send me children, let me take care. Do you beg people to give you their children to take care of? Somebody should look at you and say, oh, but this man gets space for your household. And he gets time. Make a dash and one more. Somebody was making a statement. He said, have you noticed that most of the presidents of America don't usually have more than two children? Two, three, like that. Because they have already, America is already a big family. Praise God. You don't kill yourself over anything. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Live life and enjoy it to the fullest. Enjoy rest in God's presence. I used to worry over a lot of things, though. When will somebody get to invite me? When will somebody? And God told me, say, sit down in my presence until I make your enemies your footstool. Sit down. I'm jumping all over the place. Sit down. Say, your God who seeth you in the secret will do what, sir? Announce you where? God says, stop trying to make people invite you. He said, make me, make them invite you. Sit down. I settled this one about 15 years ago. Sit down in my presence. Study your word. When you study enough, you have revelation. If you catch something from my presence, I'll go and tell somebody that you have something to tell them. You hear what I just said now? If you catch something from my, you think I will give you something for you alone? If I download something and you receive it, I will go and meet blessed. I say, blessed, go and listen to Pastor Samuel. Go, and then Adamson, go listen to Pastor Samuel. Everyone. Oh, yeah, Sarah, you two go and listen. How did you even get here, Sarah? You know, Ebiola, all of you. Ebiola, you know, something made you come here this morning because I got something you need to hear. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you receive a product from God, he will announce to the world to come and buy your product. What you should stress yourself to do, you are not doing it. The one you should not stress yourself to do is the one you are doing. You are stressing yourself to gather people. When you should be stressing yourself to get what people need. I need to get up. Somebody said this month, no hiding from God's presence. Psalm 16 verse 11 says, thou will show me the path of life. Somebody said the path of life. Thou will show me the path of life. What is the path of life? It says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16, 11 says, the path of life is where? In the presence of God. Am I talking to somebody here? The path of life is in the presence of the Almighty God. So if you are looking for life and you want to enjoy life, David, who has several wives, say it is not in having many women. The brother who wants to make a mistake, better learn from your fathers. David said, if you want the path of life, forget about women. In fact, Solomon, his son, who rejected that instruction, learned it the hard way. Then towards the later part of his life, his mother said, didn't I tell you, O King Lemuel, it is not of kings to give themselves over to women or kings to give themselves to strong drinks. So young man who like plenty women, learn it. It is not the path of life. David was a king. So position was not the path of life. If David said, in your presence is the fullness of life, it means having position is not where you get the fullness of life from. David was a man who had money, so much money he kept enough for the building of God's house. But David never said that it is in having money or amassing wealth. David said, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. Psalm 51 verse 10 to 12. When David noticed that he had sinned against God and he knew God was unhappy with him, Prophet Nathan came to warn him. Psalm 51 verse 10 to 12. David, in his cry to God, did not say, oh God, please don't let my wives leave me. Oh God, don't let me become poor again because I've sinned against you. David said, create in me, oh God, a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from where, sir? Huh? David said, Lord, he said, when Saul sinned against you, Saul's prayer was that you should not take the kingdom from him. He said, but me, you can take the kingdom. You can take my wife, take my car, take my children, take everything. But Lord, one thing you should not do, please. Don't send me away from where, sir? Your presence. Because if I am in your presence, I will get wives, I will get cars, I will get position. So the thing that matters is what, sir? Your presence. Am I talking to anybody here? David also opened his mouth. He said, when Israel went out of Egypt, Psalm 114 verse 1 to 8, he said, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel was his dominion. He said, the sea saw it and they fled. Jordan was driven back. Mountains skipped like rams. Little hills like lambs. He said, what aileth thee, O mountain or sea, that thou fleddest the Jordan, that thou was driven back? He said, ye mountains that skip like rams and little hills that skip like lambs, tremble thou at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into standing water. Is that not what you are looking for? For a God who can turn the rock into standing water, and for a flint, God can turn into fountains of water. Listen, David was saying very simply here, if you are looking for the master breakthrough maker, he said, you better come to God. He said, this God has the capacity to make rocks become water. He has the capacity to make flints to become fountains of water. If you have a mountain before you, he said, the presence of God can make mountains to jump and flee like lambs. If you have hills before you, they can vanish. It's all about securing the presence of God. So you need God's presence where you are trying to use man's effort. You are too energetic, I understand. But energy does not really make anything happen. Hallelujah. My time is up. We'll continue tomorrow. Let me say this, and I think I want to say this to everyone who is a preacher in the house, and everyone who is a Christian, and everyone who speaks wherever you speak. In Luke chapter 1 verse 19, I saw a mystery. I saw it several years ago, and it has helped me. And the angel answering said to him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent unto thee. Praise God. I am Gabriel that stand in the presence. Oh God, help me. I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak to thee and to show you these glad things. Now listen, I think this was the case of Zechariah, am I correct? When angel Gabriel appeared, Gabriel simply means the mighty one of God or something like that. When Gabriel came before Zechariah, he introduced himself. Listen to how he introduced himself. He did not say, well, my name is Archangel. He did not use his position to introduce himself. Oh, help me, Jesus. Christians, may we get there. He did not say, well, I'm a PhD holder in Harvard's and no. He said, I am Gabriel. First of all, let me mention my name. I'm not using any title, no archangel, whatever. I am Gabriel. And he said, please, I want to let you know of my standings before God. I stand in the presence of God. That's why I'm mighty. Number two, I stand in the presence of God, he said, and he sent me. Jesus said he called the disciples that they might be with him and that he might send them. You cannot be sent better than you stand. Where you stand with God determines where he sends you to. Okay. May you, for the rest of your life, remember the things I'm sharing with you today. You cannot be, see, your standing with God decides who he sends you to. I hope you know in every king's palace, I hope you know there are different people. Some at the gate. Am I correct? You find some who are washing his car. Am I correct? Have you noticed that those who go on behalf of the king to go and speak to other kings, those who carry the kings between kings and kings, those who carry kings' messages, are those who spend more time in the presence of the king. The king does not send those who are far off. Those who normally see him when he's going out. Those who normally see him when he wakes up and he say, "All my soldiers, how are you?" And you know, they see him briefly. He say, "I am Gabriel, man of God. This is what makes God put mysteries in the hands of men. I am Gabriel who stand in your presence." And he said, "I have been sent. Number two, I'm asked to speak. Number three, I'm asked to show." If you want to show your generation something from God, you cannot but stand in the presence of God. If you want God to show you things about your life that you don't know about, nobody, sir. Sorry, the gift of the word of wisdom. Is that okay? And the word of knowledge. The word of wisdom is the capacity to know things in the past. To know things. Is that okay? Is that all right? Now, and then the gift of the word of knowledge is the ability to be able to break into a part of the total knowledge of the Almighty God. Some things that God knows that you don't know about your life. If you spend time in God's presence, God will speak. God will show. God can send you to your family and tell you what the cause of the problem is. God can speak to you about your future by word of wisdom. Are you hearing? God can speak to you about your now and about your future via word of wisdom and tell you these are the things that shall be in the years to come. But it comes from standing in his presence. I want you to crave for the presence of God. Create time to be in the presence of God. There's so much you can gain by standing in the presence of God. He said, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. Therefore, I've been sent to speak." You cannot be sent further than you stand. Is that okay? If you want God to send you far, you must learn to stand firm in his presence. If you want God to send you far, you must learn to stand firm in his presence. It is from his presence that we succeed beyond human limits. I'd like you to lift your hands to the Lord and say, "Father, bring me to your presence. Bring me to your presence." If you want to stand, that would be great. Do you want to say, "Lord, bring me to your presence"? Open your mouth and speak to God and just say, "Lord, bring me into your presence. Lord, I want to spend more time with you." Say, "Lord, give me the grace and the discipline needed." Because that's it. It's not that you don't know, but the point is you need the discipline to spend more time in the presence of God. I've shared with you the benefits: rest, inner rest, peace, tranquility, breakthroughs like you've never seen before. They'll say, "God, give me the grace to come to your presence that I may be able to stand, see, speak, and show my generation things that are beyond human comprehension." Open your mouth and speak to God.
Open your mouth and talk to God this morning. Ask that he gives you grace.